say that fast, you know?
Blog
Unless
Talk
it really
Radio.
Is. Does that...
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And I always say that literally because I'm so grateful to life, grateful to God, grateful to be alive and to be here and grateful for us to be able to do the show and do the show the way we do it. So I thank you and giving gratitude. And
yeah.
Hey, Randy, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm grateful as well. You know, grateful doesn't mean, you know, easy or not tired or all that, but grateful means fulfilled, means on purpose, right? Means, you know,
yes.
being really kind of poured out for others, right? Leadership. We were talking off air about leadership, and you know, we're going to talk to a guy today who was a cop for 30 years and now teaches in police academies, and he's going to talk about leadership. He's going to talk about what he learned in 30 years of life behind the badge about being a good husband,
wow,
a good father, a good man. And pretty cool. Pat Welsh is his name. So looking forward to that. And man, crazy weather again all over the country, right? We didn't, I guess Irma is pretty much worked its way through Florida. I haven't watched TV lately, but.
Yeah, I think up in Atlanta and the other places. And well, I think going up into Atlanta, I didn't look today, believe it or not, but I'm up into Atlanta and South Carolina and thank God downgraded. And that's another thing, you know, the gratitude is huge that we need to have because so many people are alive, and I was so thankful, prayed an entire time, you know, prayed. And prayer works, and prayer is real, and it's sad when people don't understand that. But I have good friends that were in different areas, and one was really stubborn about leaving, and finally they did and moved inland a little bit. But you hear a lot of people, look at how many lives were saved because of the massive evacuations, the planning, the work. It was just so incredible, you know, and I know it's not over for them. It's not over for the people in Houston and Louisiana and many more because, you know, this rebuilding could take years and it can even be months before people can get into their homes. I understand weeks before they can get in with the electric. And you know, and I was just like, wow, our life is so much more important than the material possessions that we hold on to, you know?
Yeah.
And, that gratitude, I'm so grateful that so many are alive. I mean, people are saying, it's not, you know, easy to say if you didn't get affected. Well, you know, it's really been through all the storms. And a lot of countries and areas are used to these, like the Philippines are very used to a lot of typhoons and areas, places are not built well, and they cannot even sustain the water and the pressure. And when you look at it, we're a really pretty small world, you know. One of the things that I noticed a lot, and I wanted to talk a little bit about house generators and some backup situations and things that we all should be doing because there's some things. The worst part to think about stuff is when we right in the middle of it, you know. Backing up a little bit. Yeah. My son and I were in the earthquake on Oahu. It was October 15, 2016th, or it was 2006, October 13th, 2015. I'm mitching my words around here. I better October 15th, 2006. And it was actually an earthquake on the Big Island, and it wasn't huge. There wasn't major damage. There was damage. Our power went out for 18 hours, and you felt the tremors, and then another tremor. And I remember, always being familiar with California. My mother lived in Huntington Beach for 17 years, and, California is used to usually, what to do about quakes. And I remember I'm standing in the house and again, this wasn't a biggie or anything, and this Oahu's a few hundred miles away, but we still felt it and the power. And it was like, oh my gosh, what are we supposed to do? Get under a table, get in a door jam, or Kenny says, I'm going to run outside. And I said, don't do that because the power lines are really low. You don't want to do that. And, I hear a radio or something. And so, But anyhow, that's the worst time for us all to learn what to do in the case of emergency, right? We're supposed to know, just like we used to have fire drills, or they have fire drills in schools and places.
Yeah.
And I thought about that, I didn't have portable radio back then, and I was able to switch, the business phone lines in Honolulu that were ringing busy because they're in a high-rise building. And I was able to switch because I always have Ultra Call forwarding and have all these things set up, for years and years of doing business. Was able to switch the lines to my home number because I had a landline. A lot of people don't have landlines and they don't realize your cell phone's going to go out, right? In an emergency, not just the power, but the satellite, the connections can go out too. So I learned a lot about that then. And it's interesting because I always have landlines no matter where I live. And now they're starting to put in a lot of if they're doing the Fios or the different type of landlines, they're not like our old-fashioned landlines that would work. They will still run out after 4 or 5 hours, which to me, being a leader and always looking at the big picture as much as I can, I don't think that makes a lot of sense. I think the infrastructure should be put in that our landlines, for the people that get them still, should last even if you're in a storm, because you have no connection. And that's what I got in 2006. I didn't have battery backups. I mean, I had computer battery backup that just lasts for a couple hours, but I didn't have a regular portable radio. And I was calling the mainland, calling my mother and my brother at the time to say, what's going on? What's on the news, And then I guess people go out in their cars. It's just something to think about that we're so used to kind of being spoiled in the U.S. I mean, kind of like we have luxuries that we may not count as luxuries that are luxuries. And we don't think about that. And that was something that I think everybody could kind of look at it and say, do we have, do you have first aid kits? Do you have plenty of food for even weeks at a time? Mm-hmm. What about water, toilet paper? Maybe just kind of make that something you have regardless of when it is, right? Instead of, the day before the storm, everybody's running to the, so I just kind of, it brought back this, and I thought, wow, we've got to, and be so grateful to when push comes to shove and it's your life or everything you own, you're hopefully going to care about your life, right? But that's what I kind of saw with everything going on. I thought that it was, I'm grateful and, that people got out of the way and got out of harm's way. And it's everybody's helping each other. Now these storms are going to, to donate, it was so important to donate. Even if you can only donate $10, it's important to donate because I don't see how the government's going to be able to handle the massive, what they said it was so many billion and for Houston and Louisiana and then so many billion for Florida. It really, the other thing is when you go through these things, it takes you back to basics. I remember in 2006, Kenny and I went down to Safeway because it was walking distance to my house and they had emergency lights in there. Well, so much of the food was ravaged, but we were able to get hot dogs and we had a gas grill. So we cooked hot dogs and we kind of played cards and, did those things that you and I are old enough, Randy, to think about things you would do years ago when, we didn't have the internet and we didn't have so much entertainment and things like that. And it kind of brings you back to basics, And I just thought, and So I was looking at all that, and I think the we do have generators are important to look into getting either a small one or a whole house one, or they do have payment plans. There's different ways some people can do it. And, you know, so these little things that we don't think about aren't little things when it, I guess it's kind of like being not fearful, but being protected. And you hear about the preppers going on. You know, there's so many other preppers going on around the country. But so I just kind of, that brought that all back home, and how we, let's not forget that we all need to help each other. Right. And, you know, so.
And I just saw an article. I was just looking at some of the an article on the you know, on IRMA and stuff, and you know, it's talking about 6 million people had to evacuate, and just a great story to go along with what you're saying about people getting. It's like a great teaching moment for kids as well when they see, you know, adults helping other adults. And I guess this gal Patty Taylor was in a drive-thru at Chick-fil-A in Alabama, and they pulled up her son Jordan. Pulled up, and the car in front of him was from Florida. And Jordan, a 9-year-old, said, "Hey, Mom, I bet they've, you know, they're evacuees. And could we pay for their lunch?" And her mom goes, "Yeah," and gave him some money. And he ran up to the drive-through window and said, "We want to pay for these folks' lunch." And sure enough, and found out they were evacuees. They totally were evacuees from Florida. So I mean, just stuff like that, you know.
How awesome!
People just get so it's just good teaching moments all the way through. And like you said, I think it could have been way, way worse, but because of the preparation and because of the dedication of just people saving other people and being committed, man, it's really an exercise and you know, in other being other oriented, which is really what our society needs, because we are so selfish, man, for the most part, you know. And it's ironic that a tragedy like this, you know, can bring that about, right? This terrible thing that you see.
It's true, isn't it?
Some of the best in human nature, and you know, and some of the hooligans as well, the idiots, you know, doing the looting and all that. You see the worst as well, but you know, I think far more dominating the news were stories of people using their boats to save people and, you know, all of those things. So it's been awesome. And well, you hit it on the head. As you said, that we need to be prepared. The best time, you know, to think about a disaster is when you're not in one and you have the time and the, you know, the resources and you're calm and you can go, okay, what if, you know, what if we had to leave with just a suitcase or a backpack, you know, what would I take, you know, and think that through. And because somebody posted something on Facebook about all the fires all over the world right now. I mean, so much of, you know, America, there's these forest fires and they're huge and they're, you know, and then you talk about storms, you know, and yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to a client the other day in Washington State. She said it was Washington State. She said the fire was only so many small, but then there wasn't enough money put out to contain it, and then it grew to, you know, 80 how many thousands of acres, right? It's huge. And it's just it's all over. And then we had the earthquake in Mexico. They had the earthquake there, and it's a lot's going on, a whole lot's going on, and it's not something, you know, we like to be able to control things and our environment, what's happening, and we're not able to, you know. We have to trust God and turn it over and love and the generators. One of the news reporters was reporting during the Irma in Florida that actually I think the Attorney General might have mentioned it on one of the shows, saying that a lot of people get hurt with generators when they have the external ones and they need to put them at least 20 feet from the home. Face it away from your house when you're going through a hurricane, because other things happen and things blow up and things hit other things. So all of this is needed to have, I didn't know that, but important to find out how to use it. The whole house ones are going to be better because if you have the propane and you can use them for days or weeks at a time. But it's worth it. Thank God for Google and our search engines, even, you know, that we can Google and learn information and try to find out what the best avenue is for this. Because and now you see commercials all the time about buying the freeze-dried food that lasts for 25 years. You know, it makes you, you know, really think that we should, because, you know, Randy, you're a leader, I'm a leader, and our backgrounds, we've always had to lead. And when you're leading, you have to look at the whole picture and then figure out where the priority is. Who do you delegate to? That's my big thing right now. I'm trying to do the big D word and delegate a lot better than I do, because I get interrupted too many times from people that should be able to handle
yeah.
things. And I was interrupted last night at a convention that I lost 2 hours out of it. I had 200 and some more people I wanted to go network with, and didn't happen because of something that in my office that someone else should have been able to handle instead of blown it out of proportion. So my big thing is going to be delegate. But when you look at it, you see all these situations, and we have to look at the big picture and look at the background, backup situations, look at what you can do. Because when we, for example, in offices, you know, our business, we'll have more than one computer, right? You're going to have backup systems. You back up your data on these servers. You also have other backups. Because so if something goes down, you can say, no problem, I'm going to switch over to here, right? The worst thing is to say, it's down, can't help you, can't do things. Why? Why don't we have backups? And that's the same thing in training and learning with homes and where we are and what we can do to not have it be as difficult as it is when we're not prepared. So it's I just wanted to put it out there about check into the generators, because there are a lot of really good ones out there, and there's ways to and the other point though is to remember, in these storms, watch out for the electricity. You know, you have situations where, and they've had some too, and they had some in Houston, but you have situations where they're draining some of the reservoirs or lakes or whatever they can drain, the man-made, you know, to help with the flooding. But sometimes one city hasn't connected with the electric company, or somebody didn't connect with another group. You don't want to assume that it's safe to walk through water if the electric's on, or, you know, just every precaution we can take. I just think it's just good planning. But I'm very thankful. Yeah. Thankful for everybody I know they've got a long road to hoe, so we don't want to forget people. Just like, you know, when people die and there's a funeral and everybody gathers around, and then the difficult part is later because they're kind of alone. You know, these storms aren't going away right away, you know, and what the repercussions. So we want to remember to give, remember to help out, remember to check in. And
keep it coming. Keep the money coming, because you're right. The cameras kind of go away and people forget, and there's still a huge financial need. So that is for sure. You know, again, Realty Universal Radio, the name of this show, and Natalie Mullenix. My name is Randy Zachary, and we talk real estate. We talk about God, about giving back, and about leadership as well. And you mentioned just a minute ago, you know, the idea of delegating, and sometimes how hard that is for a variety of reasons, right? I mean, I think sometimes we feel like, we try to delegate, and then it doesn't get done the way we want it to, because the people we delegate to aren't as passionate about it as we are, maybe, and they don't do as good a job, and so you just try to do it myself.
Oh, my gosh.
I was at a minister's retreat this last week, and the pastor said this. He goes, he tells his pastoral team and his volunteer teams, he goes, you know what? Anybody can identify a problem. I mean, we all, that's the easy thing. He goes, I do not want you to ever interrupt me or come to my desk or buzz me or text me about a problem unless you have 3 ideas for a solution.
Oh, I'm gonna tell my office that. Oh, what a good one. Yes.
That was brilliant. He goes, you know, it's easy to, we can all identify a problem, but I want to know that you've thought through 3 ways that maybe this thing could be fixed. And he says that it saves him a lot of grief.
Wow.
And it grows his leadership, you know, like, hey, yeah, I need to do that, because that's what a leader is.
Wow.
Finding solutions, right? So,
exactly.
Speaking of leaders, on the line with us, Pat Welsh. Is the author of Warrior, Servant, Leader, My Life. He has, he's a speaker, trainer, coach, and a consultant. And
wow.
Man, I have known I've known Pat for a long time. In fact, full disclosure, he arrested me back in Dayton, Ohio. I'm kidding.
No.
Pat, welcome, buddy. Welcome.
Hey, how are you, Randy?
Hey. Hi, Pat. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
And I'm believing you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, no. Hey, man, I'll tell you what. Pat Welsh is a guy that, you know, we've had on the radio at our network and near Chicago at WBGL, and you know, been involved with him on the John Maxwell team and other ventures. And I just so good, Pat. So good. I think I mentioned to you in a Facebook message that, you know, the last interview we did, I replayed it on our show several times just because of you breaking down the whole idea of loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and what that means as a man, how you learn that in your life behind the badge. So I'm just glad you could take a few minutes to be with us, man. Thank you.
I appreciate the invite.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, hey, talk to us about the idea. You know, and again, we have probably about a half an hour or so if you can hang out. And so it's you know, again, one of these situations where the time is going to fly by because this is compelling stuff. And I would highly recommend you all getting this book, again, Warrior, Servant, Leader, My Life Behind the Badge. You can Google it. It's all over the internet. And, you know, just grab it because there's so much more that
Are you gone?
I lost Randy. I hear you.
Oh, okay. You know what? He's going to call right back in.
Okay.
I'll just give him a second because I think he's in the yeah. It records, so I'm just going to wait until he comes in. Thanks
okay.
for calling. Okay. I'm going to call back in as a host real quick so that he can, so we can get started just in case his isn't. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Let me see something here. And if for some reason you get disconnected, call us back in.
Okay.
Let's see. 921. Okay.
Hey, Pat, you there?
Yeah, we lost you.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened, man. I guess I was on a cell phone and it dropped out. And I'm looking now back in the studio. It doesn't look like Natalie's there as well, huh?
Well, she was going to call back in as a host.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Because she didn't know if you were going to be able to get back on.
Okay. Cool. Sorry about that. Yeah, I just.
Hey, no worries.
No, note to self, man. The cell phone thing sometimes gets crazy. I just disappeared. But so again, I just talk to us about this concept, man, of warrior, servant, leader, and you know, and how this kind of evolved. Tell us a little bit about your journey in law enforcement and how this book kind of came to be.
You know, well, I started out, I kind of did things a little backwards. I was actually a district attorney for almost 4 years, and my passion was really law enforcement. So when I was 28 years old, after a lot of prayer and discussion with my wife, I made the switch and then was in law enforcement for 26 years. And when I retired in 2012, I just started writing down a lot of my experiences and lessons learned, and that evolved into a the book. And it's actually now, I've been retired 5 years, and I'm in my wife and I both are in our fourth year of a 4-year biblical studies program through Denver.
Wow.
And so there's another book on the horizon, basically what I've learned and really grown in spiritually over the last 4 years, and it will be coming out later this fall, called Warrior Servant Leader, Life Behind the Cross, Living a Life of Impact and Influence. And so over all those years and, you know, reflections and experiences, and Randy, you and I worked on a book a few years ago, because you kind of know my story of being born in Dublin, Ireland, and when I was 3 days old, literally abandoned in an orphanage, and all the healing processes I went through, as well as my birth mother, when 40 years later, when I actually located her. So this is just almost 60 years of learning and experiences that, like I call them, some people call them aha moments. I call them holy moments. That,
that, amen.
And just being able to put it all together. And this whole concept of the warrior, servant, leader is kind of my, I don't want to call it my motto, but it defines for me what God is calling us to in the greatest commandment. You know, hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And what that means to me is, in every aspect of my life, I'm called to be a warrior, a servant, and a leader. And the Great Commission that kind of goes with that, which a lot of people, my idea of the Great Commission is not, I don't know, probably what a lot of people think. When you hear that term, you know, it's, most people go, oh yeah, it's, you know, go forth and spread the gospel and the good, you know, the good news.
Yeah.
And for me, the Great Commission is when Christ says daily, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And denying yourself is that servant piece of being a warrior, servant, and leader, that you're putting the wants and needs of others, not yourself, you know, before yourself. The pick up the cross, that's that warrior component. We all have battles we have to fight, and they may be internal, or they may be on behalf of other people, certainly on behalf of our faith. And then the following part is, that's the leadership component, that, you know, you follow Christ not to simply be a follower, but to be a leader for Christ and bring other people to Christ.
Right.
So it's all, you know, the whole 26 years of being a cop, there's some stories in there. And I know, Randy, you and I have talked about before, but the guy that, the only thing that kept him from being taken to the hospital in an ambulance was that I asked him to pray with me. And and I tell that story in the book.
What happened? I know, take a while. What happened when you told him to pray with you? What was going on? What was happening to him?
I was called to the scene by my sergeant, who was a black belt in judo, and there were two huge cops there, and I mean huge, like one was a former all high school football player, wrestler, the other one was like 6'5", 6'6".
Whoa.
And they'd been at this house for an hour trying to negotiate and talk with this distraught young man, he's like 28 years old, to get him to go to the hospital to talk to somebody in mental health, and they couldn't do it, and it wasn't working. So the sergeant called me. And I get there, and I'm thinking, you know, he's called me because I have such a gift for, you know, talking to people. And he's like, no, you're the smallest guy on duty. You're going to rush in there and jump on top of this guy. because it's a really small room. And just hold on to him, and we'll come in and drag him out. And now here's the best part of this whole story is, I'm not kidding. This guy could have been the twin brother to Mike Tyson.
Really?
I called him Mini Mike. And he had no shirt on. He was sweating profusely. And I'm like, this is not going to work because I'm going to get hurt. So I said to the sergeant, well, at least, you know, can I talk to the guy for a minute? And this kid, he's just rocking. He's sitting on the floor. He's just rocking.
Was he on drugs? Was he on drugs or anything? Or
No. It turns out he had 102 fever. He had a lot of things had gone sideways in his life, and he was just emotionally distraught. And but he's rocking back and forth, and he's banging into the wall. And this was an old little bungalow cottage-style house with real plaster, you know, not drywall. And he was knocking the plaster off the wall
in the living room
on the other side.
Oh, no.
And he just kept going, oh, God, oh, God. And he's banging on this wall, and he's, like, just staring straight ahead. And I squatted down, and, you know, I said, hi, I'm Pat. Nothing. Man, he just keeps rocking and moaning and, oh, my God, and nothing works getting his attention. So I went out and talked to his mom and asked if he was a religious individual because he keeps just saying, oh, God, oh, God. And she goes, well, his father was our pastor at our church for, you know, a long, long time. He died 6 months ago, and my son has been upset ever since.
Yeah.
So that's where I got the idea that, hey, this will be something that I can connect with this young man on. And I walked in and I squatted down and I said, hey, who do you pray with? And he stops rocking and he looks at me and I can tell he's all there. I mean, you know, his eyes weren't dilated.
Yeah.
And he goes, nobody. And I go, well, doesn't the Bible say something about two or more gathered in my name? And he goes, yes, sir, it does. So he's really polite.
Aww.
And I said, well, I'll tell you what, if I agree to pray with you, will you agree to stand up, get dressed like a gentleman, and I'll take you to the hospital, no handcuffs, nothing, let you talk to somebody that can maybe help you with what you're struggling with. He goes, yes, sir. I said, great.
Really?
Get dressed. And I walked him out to my cruiser. We prayed in my cruiser for a few minutes, and then I took him to the hospital. And, and those are what I call, you know, people call them aha moments. I call them holy moments. Those were opportunities for not only me, but for this young man to have God touch his life and touch my life in a way that typically you don't think to do in policing. You know, it's, everybody thinks it's all, you know, guns and speeding with sirens and all that.
Wow.
I was just going to say, you guys tend to lead with that because you're usually in a high adrenaline situation, right? A chase or you're being threatened. So, you know, in that situation, you guys kind of lead with the, hey, you know, I've got to be the warrior here. But in that moment, maybe it was out of self-preservation, you know, as you looked at the guy.
But part of it was.
At first, it was like, hey, man, let me talk to him first. And then the Lord just totally used you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the best part about all that is, in my next book is going to get into it a lot deeper than the life behind the badge. But everything starts with how you think. Because your thoughts dictate what actions you take. Your actions become your habits. Your habits then become your culture, you know, what is expected and accepted, way of thinking, talking, acting. And from a standpoint of being a warrior, servant, and leader, it's not just about being a cop or being in the military. It's at home, it's at work, it's in your faith community, it's in your neighborhood. And how you think will drive how you act. And one of my favorite things, and I teach cops, both civilian and Air Force, all over the country, and I tell everybody, repetition is the mother of all learning. The more you hear something repeated, the more you see it repeated, then that is what you, you know, come to believe. So my challenge to people has always been, what are you repeating in your life? You know, what are you reading? What are you listening to on the radio? What TV shows are you watching? Because you are building and repeating the foundation that's going to drive how you act. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
And you know, in policing, our clients, if you will, our customers, were the least and the last and the lost of our communities. And if you always go in like a bull, you always go in with, I'm the police, do as I say, you're losing the opportunity to impact the lives of the, literally the people who are the least in society, the last, they're lost in their relationships, on, you know, family troubles. And if you always think of yourself simply as a warrior and not the servant and not the leader, then you're not going to respond the right way to impact in a good way somebody else's life. And it's the same thing as a parent or at work or in your neighborhood or at your faith community. The same principles apply.
That's amazing.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Randy. I'm sorry. No, I was just saying two words. I wasn't making a comment.
Yeah, it's just not being in the same studio with, you know, sometimes three people, it gets a little bit where we step on each other.
Randy,
and
I always talk to you,
but
sorry.
you kind of broke down, you hinted at this, you know, the verse about love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Could you kind of break that out again a little bit in terms of, you know, how that affects you, not only as a, you know, or affected you as a policeman, but like you said, as a father, as a husband, as a member of your church. I mean, it was just a really, last time we had you on the radio, man, you kind of broke that out, and I know you teased it there a little bit, but could you kind of spend a couple more minutes on that and just break that down for us, why that's such an important verse to you?
When you hear messages like that, you get almost immune to them because you hear them so often. It's kind of like the guy with the poster, you know, John 3:16, you know, and it's like the most Googled verse of the Bible, because this guy's at every sporting event, and then you just get kind of immune to it or used to hearing it, and you don't digest what does it mean. And when I train cops in this, and particularly military, because they're told they need to be fit in mind, body, and spirit. Well, nobody's ever explained to them what the military means by your mind, body, and spirit, or they just assume that you know. And so the heart, soul, the love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, you have to know what's your heart. You know, what does that mean? And it's not the organ in your chest. Your heart is that most inner place you go to make the most important decisions in your life. You know, you hear the expression, I love someone with all my heart. You're not talking about the organ in your chest. You're talking about the very core of your being. And so when you're called to love God with all your heart, it's that core center place that you go to. Your mind, that's actually is kind of easy. That is the organ, you know, keeps your ears from touching each other. And your mind, well, you know, what you feed your mind with drives how you think, and how you think drives how you act. And, you know, I kind of talked about that. And then the big one I find that is most confusing for people is what's your soul? Everybody has a soul. I mean, even if you're an atheist, you have a soul, and it's not that Greek philosophy afterlife, you know, something that flutters away when you die, your soul goes to wherever. That's not what Scripture means when it says, love the Lord your God with all your soul. Your soul is everything about you that is unique in the eyes of God, because he created you. And so your personality, your looks, your strengths, your weaknesses, I mean, everything about you is unique. There's nobody like you before you or after you. And that's what is your soul. And that is it's your creation by God that made you who you are. And so when I talk about that being the greatest commandment drives everything about being a warrior, a servant, and a leader, is in each of those areas. You know, a warrior is simply somebody that defends what they believe. They stand up. They don't keep their mouth. They don't have this attitude. I hate this saying. Not my circus, not my monkeys. A warrior doesn't have that kind of attitude, because everything is an opportunity for you to defend. And it could be defend the least, the lost, and the last. It could be defend your faith. It could be defend your family. But and then in the servant, being a servant is putting what the wants and needs of others before your own. And leadership is nothing more. And Randy, you know this from, we learned it from John Maxwell. Leadership is influence. Nothing
more,
nothing less.
I'm a John Maxwell too. God.
Yeah. Or, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that.
Yes. Yes.
Those three things. Those three areas. God is calling you, with all your heart and mind and soul, to live. And here's one of my most favorite examples of a person in our lifetime that demonstrated everything I'm talking about, and that's Mother Teresa.
Wow.
In every aspect of her life, she was a warrior, a servant, and a leader. I mean, somebody from Calcutta, well, she wasn't born in Calcutta, but that, you know, we all know her life story.
Right.
Is before the United Nations giving a speech to world leaders, and she's 5 foot nothing working with the lost, the least, and the last of Calcutta, and then it expanded, you know, beyond. On that is the kind of person, when I tell people, if you wanted an example of a warrior, servant, and leader who loves the Lord and her God with all her heart, mind, soul, and energy, look at Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
So that's
awesome.
Kind of the nutshell.
Yeah.
Dr. Sam. You know, I'm just going to mention Dr. Sam on the Big Island. He's from India. And he worked with Mother Teresa firsthand. He actually wanted to be an engineer, and I can't think of the last name, and wanted to be an engineer. And his family wanted him to be an engineer, I'm sorry, in his 20s. And he said, no, I'm getting into ministry. And that's what he did. And he was at the church, and they said, I want you to go speak to this nun. This is before Mother Teresa was known, and to help her, because she's not getting monies from the church, et cetera, and she needs our help. And he worked with her over the next 7 years, and knew her until the day she died, and just incredible stories he can tell. And I said, a few years ago, I said, tell me, what was it about her? You know, what was the main thing? And he said, it's real simple. She said, love God, love people, you know, It just makes your heart sing. It just really is beautiful, really beautiful.
Yeah. So again, Realty Universal Radio is where you've landed, and we know many of you listen on demand, and we're so glad that you have. Natalie Mullenix, of course, our host, and she is. Done this show for like, what now, 6 years, Natalie? Has this been 6 years?
Yeah, just about.
Wow.
Just about into January.
Wow. And again, this show about, obviously about real estate, but also about God and giving back. And Natalie is kind of, I just am interested in seeing the parallels here even, you know, Pat, with your career, and how at first blush you're like, man, how can a guy like be a cop and a police chief and, you know, macho dude with all this, you know, so many guys who are in law enforcement end up, you know, alcoholics, and you know, because they see that just every day, day in and day out, they get beat down by the ugly side of life, right, and the demonic stuff.
Yep.
And here you have, you know, you have gone in and experienced all of that, but you know, and I'm sure you would say Jesus is the difference maker here, because you were able to see in all of that craziness that God, you know, is there, like you said, for the least and the lost and the last, right? And so you see it, you've seen it as an opportunity to be used by God rather than just an overwhelming, hopeless situation.
Absolutely.
But did you feel, you felt like you were a leader since you were little? Like, did you feel that inner feeling? Like, I know, not from an ego standpoint, I mean, just inside knowing God has a plan, God has a mission, and it's supposed to be, and then feel like, I can take this on, I can do this, I can do it, you know, where people might be afraid to do this, like, no, come on, and find yourself directing or saying, let's do this and this and learn, and knew inside that there's a mission, there's a plan here. Did you kind of feel that? Like, I, you know, that intuitive thing you don't really know until you're older, and then later, I think the older and older you get, you go, oh my, oh wow, and then the more you learn scripture, wow, this is like... awesome and real. Did you feel like that when you were little at all? Like something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Two things. This one I say teasingly is, hey, I'm Irish and we're just built to always want to be in charge, or, you know, that.
Yeah.
Have you ever met a timid Irishman? Probably not.
No. No.
And I say this, with no qualifiers, no apology, no anything, whatever you want to call it. I've never been to a public school. I was raised and am still a very deep, faithful, practicing Catholic.
Wow.
I went to Catholic school
wow.
from first grade all
wow.
the way through law school. So when I talk
wow.
about repetition, is the
oh
mother
my.
Of all learning. My whole
oh my.
Education was geared towards that the Catholic faith and church and God and the sacraments that the Catholic Church
right.
celebrates, that's the foundation of my life. And that has and Randy knows some, you know, our youngest son died 2 years ago while serving overseas.
Oh my God.
With the military,
oh my,
with the
I'm
Air
so
Force.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry.
And
oh,
but
that's horrible.
It's faith that carried us through, you know.
Yeah.
My wife and I, we've been married 37 years. Faith has carried us through, raising five kids. It is when you have that kind of a foundation to build on, and then it keeps getting reinforced, it builds your confidence. It builds your faith. It builds your willingness to step out and do what God calls you to do.
Amen. And know that, you know, amen. I was raised Catholic, and I still have it. I have it in my trust paper, my paperwork, that I want a mass when I'm buried. And my brother died 5 years ago, and we had a mass. That I started going to non-denominational churches back in the 90s, and I have to say I love them. And right, the Catholic Church has gotten more into bringing in people because they were losing a lot of parishioners, but it was always repetition. You know, you could skip church for 8 months, I mean, and then go back, and it's the same thing. But I'm not disputing, because I, you know, I was raised Catholic, and I'm still technically Catholic because I, you know, I want to be buried that way, and I love the certain formalities and traditions, and I just love God with all my heart. But I have to say, when I started going to non-denominationals in the 90s and accepted Jesus in my heart, which I had done when I was 8 in Hawaii, but I don't think I knew what I was doing because one of my girlfriend's dads was a minister and I just did it. But after that, it's funny how the scriptures, it's like the veil lifted up and it made so much more sense to me. Maybe just how God, you know, with Moses and 40 years and all the other things that, you know, could have been sooner, but there's always a longer plan. Maybe that's just the trajectory and the path I had to go on, that even with real estate, I always had the servant heart and would say, why is it real estate? I wanted to be self-help. But because I would find myself, and I still to this day, get into the people's issues more than the other part of it. You know, and then I'm negotiating is easy for me because I've done it for so long, but it's because I believe in a win-win. So now it's like, oh my gosh, real estate was the vehicle because it connects me to so many people around the world and to use my gifts, but my gifts are for them. So in the long point of it, it's interesting with the foundations and learning, but that scripture, when you really, really learn, and that's, so many have never read it from front to back, and I'm still getting into it every day. You know, I keep learning more and more, right?
Absolutely. Never stop
like
learning.
The light bulb goes off, though. You're like, oh, my gosh, wow. Oh, it just gives me – it's so you know, it's just so – it's almost like God always knew. We knew. We knew. We feel it inside. But then, you know, it's just a – it's just beautiful, and God really is in control, and it's, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. I don't mean that as far as consumption. I just mean being able to go through a lot in life. Wow, your story, I'm going to get your book. I'm so sorry with your son. That's the worst nightmare anybody can live, and I think that's probably the worst something.
Now, there's a whole chapter about that in the next book, because it is but you know, and we're probably getting ready to wrap up. But here is like the encouraging thing I want to leave people with is, if you live your life like a warrior, servant, and leader, and you're doing it for the love of God, not for attaboys or whatever else, you're doing it solely like a Mother Teresa. You have no idea how many lives you're going to touch, and what impact you had. You will find out the impact that you had someday, because when you come face to face with God, He's going to go, "Hey, good and faithful servant."
Mm-hmm.
Don't look for the confirmations from other people or have people say, "Oh, thank you, you changed my life." That's not why you're doing it.
Right.
You're living
right.
This because this is what you're called to live.
Right.
Boy,
wow.
You know what, Pat? That is, you literally are confirming, you know, what I'm walking through now. You know, just in these last 2 months, we took over this little church and we're pastoring a small mountain church.
Oh.
And, you know, it's exhilarating. It's what, you know, we're called to do in this season. There's no doubt in my mind, but it's weird how it can ebb and flow in and out of that, man. And you have to continually be aware of that. Like, you know, the church is growing, new people are showing up. There's a buzz, there's an excitement. God is using my wife and I have to continually beg the Lord to search my heart to see if I'm, you know, if I'm digging it too much because of, you know, what people are saying that are positive. Because I know that if you live by, you know, people's opinions, you'll die by them eventually. I mean, if that's what's important to you, you know, that's a no,
yep.
That's a no-win highway. And I'm learning that, man. I guess in my old age now, I'm 60, and I'm able to more quickly kind of shut that down and say, "Lord, forgive me." You know, I'm kind of thinking I'm cool here, and I'm not. It's about you, and the Lord will do that. But you're right.
Yeah.
It's so important, and it's so subtle, because I think my favorite story is when Peter, right? They're all sitting around, and Jesus goes, "Well, who do they say I am?" And people are saying different things, and Peter goes, "You're the Christ, the Son of the Living God." And, you know, and Jesus goes, "Blessed are you, Peter. I'm going to build my church on you." And da 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 da. A few minutes later, I could just see Peter's head getting huge, because the apostles were all competing for Jesus' like affections all the time. Him and John were always fighting, and I could just see him puffed up. And then a few minutes later, man, Jesus goes, "Yeah, by the way, I'm going to the cross." And Peter's like, "No, you're not." And Jesus says,
"Aww.
Get behind me, Satan." You know,
yeah,
right.
He went from riches
yeah.
to rags in probably just a few minutes, because he let, you know, he was used of God, and then he let it kind of go to his head. And it is heady stuff, but it's, I appreciate what you just said about that, Pat. That's so important in any leader
is
understanding, you know, that you're doing it for the right reasons and not the weird self-serving reasons.
Well, you know my motto. I mean, you know, are you doing the right thing at the right time, the right way, and for the right reasons?
Bingo.
Those are the four
love
questions
it.
You have to ask yourself.
I love it. I love
you know?
It, yeah.
And that's the test of being a warrior, servant, and leader. Are you doing the right thing, the right time, the right way, and for the right reason? And if the answer is no, then stop what you're doing and reevaluate and go to God and ask Him, "Hey, what am I doing wrong here?"
I love it. I love it. That's, yeah.
I've heard that before, but I'm writing it down. I'm writing it down again. Right thing at the right time, right way, right reason.
For the right reason.
Go ahead, Natalie. Sorry.
I'm just prayer. I cannot say how much prayer is so huge, and you know, whatever two or more of us pray on earth is found in heaven, and how big. And I take that opportunity constantly with clients, customers, people in other places. I was walking on the boardwalk in Ocean City the other evening trying to get a break because I'm down at a convention, and this gentleman was from Romania, and he was I was just saying hi, I say hi to everybody, and you know, do one of the machines where you know you put in the game things on the boardwalk, and we started talking. I said, what are you doing? He was like, well, and he was saying how he's been here all summer. He can't wait to go home. He doesn't like it here. He loves this village and da-da-da-da. And I said, you know, I think, do you go to church? And no. But do you ever talk to God? Do you pray? Here and there, kind of. So I spent a few minutes talking to him about prayer and how the connection and the one beautiful thing that we're giving with our spirit and soul is to, you know, communicate. I kind of said like a tether, you know, in a way, just because, and he was like, wow. And I said, and you can pray and ask anything and you'll get, you know, always. And I just find that prayer is huge. I mean, I pray all the time. I get on my knees in the morning and at night. I don't just do certain, you know, I pray all the time and look for answers, like that intuitive thing that we're giving in our soul and spirit, where we can, maybe we won't get answer today, but next day or 3 days. And the other super big thing is how powerful our thoughts and words are, how you were saying, you know, what we put in. I've always said garbage in, garbage out. And you know, it's so powerful because, you know, if we're thinking negative, we get back negative. And it's just, that's the kind of things that I'll bring up a little bit when I'm talking to people that clearly aren't, say, Christian, or clearly aren't, or know that they're Christian, you know, or clearly aren't, they're kind of at a loss, just kind of. I guess the big thing I'm saying is just prayer. We can't get enough of praying and talking to God and through everything. I've had one person once, and he's in his 90s, say to me, God's too busy. He can't be busy doing all these other, can't do all these things, and I'm not going to pray all the time because he's too busy to care about my problems. And it's like, no, God's, we're just so created. So it's just amazing. It's just, God bless you. You are, what you're doing is wonderful. I'm going to get your book. When's your other book coming out, too?
It'll be out before Christmas.
Wow.
I'm hoping to have it out by November 1st. But believe it or not, I have a bishop reading it and mentoring me.
Wow.
That I'm not deviating. And there's still a few more chapters to write. You know, if I can just share one thing about prayer. Most everybody is really good about praying when they want something, you know. And you think you're talking to God, and then, okay, God, you know, take care of this, and off you go on your merry way, and you never stop to listen. You know, prayer isn't just about you talking to God. It's about God talking to you and how he does that. You know, my favorite book of the Bible with respect to being prayerful and listening and waiting on God is the book of Job. And,
all
his friends talked about God, but Job talked to God. And then he waited upon God to answer. So he waited patiently. And he was down the dumps. Don't get me wrong. His three friends, they talked about the nature of God. Well, God must be doing this to you because. Or God this, God that, because. And Job's like, no, my biggest fear is to never see the face of God again. I lost my wife, I lost my kids, I lost everything, and I'm going to patiently wait here upon God to answer why. Not why me, why God, what do you want me to do? And he got his answer. And so many people think prayer is, well, yeah, you say these prayers, you know, say the Hail Mary, say the Our Father, and then go about your business, and whatever's going to be is going to be, mentality. When in reality, that's not at all what prayer is. And in the new book, there's a, I talk about prayer and its impact because it's huge.
It is huge. I think it's huge.
When the whole story of God's coming to and it's not in the earthquake, it's not in the fire, it wasn't in the strong winds, it was a quiet whisper. And we so often forget to listen for the quiet whisper of God's answer to our questions.
That's huge. That is so good, man.
Preach, man. I need to get you down to our church and let's go, go, go.
Hey, next time you're in California. I'd be happy to come down.
Let's do it when it's winter
here.
We'll get you out of the snow.
I don't know if I can take sea level too much, though. You know, I live at 7,000 feet. That flat land.
Oh, my.
Are you in Denver? You're in Colorado, right?
Yeah, Colorado Springs. We're actually higher than Denver.
So you don't get lightheaded now, though, do you, since you've lived there so long?
No, I've been here 5 years. But when I travel and teach and train, like if I'm gone for, like I was gone for 2 weeks this summer, came back, it's like, holy cow.
Wow.
I got to get reacclimated.
Dizzy, yeah, can imagine. Wow.
Pat, thank you so much for being with us today, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for the invite.
Thank you. This has been, I'm going to get your books, and this is wonderful. Were you at the John Maxwell last spring? I don't know if you were. I was there in Florida in March.
No. We went through a wildfire and just all sorts of stuff. This is the first summer that we, in 5 years, we haven't had anything dramatic happen. So.
Oh, my goodness.
So
God bless you.
My goal is to get back down there next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, God bless you. Oh, it was really good.
It was good stuff.
Thank you.
All right, man. Well, thanks again. And the website is?
PJWelshLLC.com.
PJWelshLLC.com. Just Google
Pat
Welsh.
If you go on there, there's a link. You can actually order the books on Amazon.
Oh, good.
As an ebook and as a paperback. Or you can visit my website and click on books, and it'll take you right to the right place to order your book, either ebook or paperback.
All right, we will link up to that on our Facebook page, Reality Radio. Realty Universal Radio Facebook page. We'll link up to that as well.
We're Reality
Radio.
Love it.
Yeah.
Here
thanks,
we are,
Pat.
Reality Radio.
Again,
we try to be. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. I wish you, to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.